All right, you can go ahead and kick us off.
Oh, I am. Yep. We are the Grumpy Dungeon Masters. I'm Grumpy Dungeon Master Jay. This is my co-host, Grumpy Dungeon Master Chris Defer.
There you go.
I was waiting for you to jump in, but like usual, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a particularly grumpy mood, so I'm.
Oh, you
that's got, perfect. You got to carry this whole thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good luck with that.
All right. Anyways, okay. So first thing I want to talk about is
better be what we were going to talk about last week.
I don't know what we were going to talk about last week. This is more important than last week. All right.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You had my blood boiling last week at the beginning. So.
WotC, in their brilliance, decided to cancel the Dragon Plus magazine.
What is that?
Don't you know? The magazine that everyone read on a monthly basis that they've been going on for the past 3 years?
What is it? I've never heard of it.
And exactly, that's why it got canceled.
Were there physical copies?
No, it was all online. It
yeah,
was
don't care.
Only through their weird PDF viewer. On their website. And then on top of that, it was basically just like the stuff that was upcoming for WotC and D&D in general. And that's where I found like the Vecna statue and a couple other really cool things that they're coming out with in the future. Like it was an ad magazine.
Yeah. Naturally.
Had some behind the scenes articles, some like how to improve being a DM kind of thing. But overall, it was just kind of like, oh, that's a thing. Like,
yeah,
I appreciate them trying, but it's just not something that's going to work nowadays. So I guess that's why they canceled it.
Yeah, yeah, most likely. If you're online magazines, it's not really a thing. It never has been.
Yeah,
like, you know, anybody, myself included, and can just go out and write articles about Dungeons and Dragons. I think if they re-released physical copies, new versions of Dungeon and Dragons, like the two different magazines they used to have, it would probably do all right. But even now, like most people, just don't really buy magazines.
Yeah, it's a dead medium to me. Like, I have a fond spot for Nintendo Powers, but like, mm-hmm. I would never subscribe to a Dungeons and Dragons magazine, even though I probably should. You know,
if they released it, I would, but I know that most people would not. I have a super fond spot for both those magazines.
I have some of the old ones, and the old ones are really nice because they kind of focused on like the world building aspects and everything. It wasn't just a big ad, and that's what the Dragon Plus was a big ad. Like, this is what we have upcoming.
It was a catalog.
Yeah, and honestly, they have a YouTube channel right now. Dungeons and Dragons does, and it's far better with getting the information across. I'm trying to find out. I can't remember the guy's name who does all the interviews.
Yeah, I wouldn't
they
know.
They basically sit down and they have an interview session with either Chris Perkins or, you know, Jeremy Crawford or whomever.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about what's going on. And it's much better to kind of pull in the content that way. For example, that they have this whole series now, like who's the GIF, who's the Thigh Cream. And it's just them interviewing Chris Perkins, as Chris Perkins talks about all the cool new things that are coming out in Spelljammer, like what the different races are and who they are. And they're like small, like 5-7 minute videos of like a much longer interview that happened.
Yeah.
And it works much better, I think, overall.
I would like to see them put together maybe a WotC channel, not necessarily just D&D, but a WotC channel where it's just sort of streaming stuff 24/7, and it's interviews with Chris Perkins, interviews with other prominent D&D people, maybe even have, you know, a D&D game running on. Like, they have so much stuff that's out there and so much content, they could easily do that.
You would think that so the Dungeons & Dragons channel has like an ongoing adventure. They have Legends in a Multiverse kind of running right now, which is a D&D game set in the Spelljammer setting. They talked about the EUA when it came out, the D&D Direct. And that channel, that YouTube channel is filling up pretty well, and they are covering a lot of like what kind of goes on in the whole of D&D-dom. It's Todd Kenrick that's doing most of the interviews. Okay. He used to work for D&D Beyond before they canned him, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if they canned him. I know he quit with everybody else, like all in the same week. Didn't
they buy up D&D Beyond?
Yeah, which is really weird, because like, you had all these people who were like the main people that were running D&D Beyond, and then like they all quit. And it seemed like to me like they were all like kind of like let go or were basically given incentive packages to leave. Mm-hmm. And then like a couple months later, they're all involved with WotC projects, and then Wizards buys D&D Beyond. And you're just kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, that sounds like some behind the scenes politics.
Yeah, something definitely went on there, and I don't know what it was, but I don't know.
They all probably had to sign NDAs where they couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. but I would say that YouTube channel did a lot better with getting the information across with like the Radiant Citadel, for example, than the Dragon Mag did with the Radiant Citadel. Because pretty much it was the same information, but sitting there and actually seeing the main kind of like director of the book, where he assembled it and talked about all the people he brought on to write for it, is much, much more entertaining, to, at least to me, than reading it in a magazine. I read enough stuff. I don't need to go home and read more stuff.
Yeah. The thing is, though, like magazine articles, I love reading those. Yeah. Because you can read just like I can sit here and watch a 10-minute YouTube video, I can read a magazine article in 10 minutes. Get the same amount of information, if not more, because it's, you know, you can have stats included. You could, dungeon was literally nothing but a bunch of dungeons in there. Yeah, very useful stuff came out of those magazines. And yeah, while it's fun sitting here watching a 10-minute video of Chris Perkins talking about upcoming stuff, that's not actually providing material that I can utilize in my campaign.
Now, see, if they continue doing what they were doing with D&D Beyond, where they were handing out free monster folios and free adventures that you could play, mm-hmm. and it's already all up on D&D Beyond, and they have the articles, and they link to all the YouTube articles that come out on the Dungeons & Dragons YouTube channel, that can be my place. Like, okay, if I want D&D content, I go to D&D Beyond. Here's all the new stuff. Here's all the new adventures. Here's all the new how-to-plays. Here's the funny, jokey videos with Renan D. Mulligan, and here's him versus Matt Mercer in a duel to the death with their level 20 PCs. You know, like, all the content and fun stuff can just be there for me to kind of pull in. And there's a monthly subscription to it that people are using, because people already signed up for that, you know. People may sign up for more stuff. I think you would probably pay a small subscription just to get more free dungeon maps and layouts and stuff, especially
I think that's the different, that is one of the differences between me and you, is you fully utilize the online content, and my way of doing things doesn't use that. And that because of them going so heavily towards online content, it actually hurts DMs like myself. I've told you a million times, and I will continue to say it, I want the physical copy in front of me. And while I know I could purchase it and then go out and print the PDF or download the PDF and then print it out, that requires me to do that process. And that's not what I want to be doing. I just want to be able to go to the store or even order it online and just have the physical copy here.
Just get an iPad, you scrub.
I have one.
Don't you have iPad?
It is not the same thing as having a paper version of it in front of me.
Don't you have iPads?
Yeah. I don't have an iPad, but I have a tablet. I actually do use the tablet. A lot of the information for my campaign is stored on there, but not maps, not the adventures that I'm running, just info that if I need to look it up, there it is. But yeah, like physical copies are what I desire. And, you know, this version of it, while I think they're not, I don't think they're moving in the wrong direction, because the vast majority of DMs, you know, definitely utilize the internet more than I do. I'm an old man. What do you expect here? I get, you know, you get stuck in your ways after a while.
Get with the times, old man.
Yep. But I really would love to see them do a new version of, you know, the magazines. I know that's not likely to ever happen unless enough people start clamoring for it.
Remember the old Abe Simpson joke in the Simpsons where it's old man yells at cloud?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yep. This picture, grumpy Dungeon Master Jay yells at D&D Beyond.
Yeah, no, that's literally me. It is.
But yeah, I just. There's a big buildup that they've been pushing Spelljammer, at least from my news feeds. It's just freaking everywhere. The algorithm knows that I'm excited for Spelljammer, and it's just like, hey, you want more Spelljammer content? I'm like, no, thank you. I'm good. I've already bought it twice. I don't need to buy it again. Are you sure you don't know about the GIF? I know everything about the GIF already. Thank you very much. You want to know about Autonomes? No.
Did you pre-order a physical copy of it?
I ordered the collector's edition copy of it.
Okay, okay.
And I bought it on D&D Beyond.
Bought it on D&D Beyond. I figured when you said you'd bought it twice, I assumed that was the two ways.
Yeah.
I have not purchased it. I will wait until I see a physical copy in front of me.
Nerd.
Yeah, that's just how I do things. I'm, you know, Spelljammer, I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I know it would be forever before I got to run anything involving it. My campaign's going to be another year at least before it wraps up. So
I did watch a video on the campaign that comes with it that starts at level 5. And well, the fact that our friend Jeffrey Ludwig helped write it, okay, the adventure part aside, I love the adventure, the premise of it. And like I said, I haven't sat down and read it. I watched a video on it who kind of gave like a scoop over everything, like it basically was. And it reminds me of something that I've seen before in sci-fi, but I can't.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't spoil it for anybody who wants to.
I want to give you the premise, the setup to what leads to it. Not anything in the end or any of the big twists or spoilers, but
yeah, all right.
The way that they basically made it so like anyone can pick up that adventure and run it. Okay. It's essentially a spell jamming ship comes out of deep space, just buckles up to your planet, okay, and it begins to basically destroy your planet. All right, and what it's doing is it's basically trying to pull all the like energy, whatever the energy source is that they need, directly from your planet, okay. And so then your level 5 group, no matter what situation they're in, basically another ship shows up and basically you board their ship to go to that ship that showed up out of nowhere and basically stop them. And that kind of like then leads you to the greater astral sea kind of storyline and everything that's kind of going on.
All right.
So the fact that you can kind of just take that and just, oh, a ship just comes from space and starts just eating your planet. Like, that's a perfect sci-fi trope for me. And I love it because like, half the movies are like that. Battle for Los Angeles.
You just described like half of the sci-fi films that are out there. There are remnants of Independence Day in what you just said. There's remnants of God forbid Battlefield Earth in there.
Let's not talk about that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the movie was awful. But they showed up and just started stealing all the gold from Earth. Yeah. Okay, in this scenario, they show up and start stealing all the energy from your planet.
I mean, that's Transformers too.
Yep.
I mean, so like the fact that they went that way is just it's just perfect. I love it. Like it's the perfect premise for me, just to be like, oh shit, I want to take this, you know, in a crazy direction, and I want to go crazy. Like I could run Waterdeep. Okay, levels 1 through 5. And then just have my party just be hanging out in Waterdeep, you know, just chilling, relaxing.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, a ship just comes out of the sky and starts, like, beaming into the center of Faerun. And they're like, oh, we better go stop that.
That's what you should do. You should, your next campaign, you should tell all of your players you're running Avernus. And then you start them off. And you literally start running Avernus as you would. And then before all the bad stuff actually goes down in Avernus, you should then have this alien spaceship show up and just completely reroute the whole campaign.
I may or may not already be working on that idea for the next Waterdeep campaign.
I went with Avernus, but Waterdeep, Icewind Dale, literally any of them work.
You defeated the Frost Maiden. Oh, here comes the bad guys. They're going to eat your planet now.
Yep.
She was keeping them at bay, and you ruined it. Your fault.
Good job. So last week, at the beginning of the podcast, you told me that you had seen the table of contents for the Spelljammer book.
Yeah.
Do you have that handy? That way we can kind of go over it.
Sure. Give me a second. Because it's always on D&D Leaks. Because people get their... So there's a lot of people who get, like, press copies of these things.
Sure, yeah.
And they, like, oh, here's the leaked images for all the... all the table of contents. It's like, by the time you're getting press copies, the stuff isn't leaks. You know? Not in my opinion. It's just press copies.
Yeah, I mean, it... I guess technically it is... But it's a on purpose leak, you know.
Right.
I think your definition of what you're talking about is leaks that are not intended. But right. Typically, something like that, you're going to get 6 months in advance. You know, way in advance, not you know, a month ahead of time. When does Spelljammer drop anyway?
Tuesday.
Oh shit, we're that close. Okay.
Yeah. I'll take the images to put it in our Grumpy Dungeon Master Discord. So you can take a look at them.
Yeah, together. That sounds good.
And honestly, there's no indexes, oddly enough. Someone was complaining about that in a video I just watched before we started.
Like, is there no index in the book, or nobody's released the index?
There's no index in the book. He was like looking through the physical pages. Like, there's no index. There's a table of contents.
That's just weird.
Save on paper, I guess.
That's still weird and not... Yeah, that's just dumb. Give me a damn index.
Well, I mean, because they divide the books up into three separate things, and they're really, really going as far as they can to sell that as like, oh, this is just a bonus feature. Like, oh, we split the book up so you can hand the players the player guide, and they won't see the monsters or their adventures and see anything sneaky. I won't take a sneak peek. Like, that was never a problem. You're just making it seem like it is a problem.
Yeah. I was very confused when you shared this first picture, because I'm looking through it. I'm like, where is all the content? This is literally nothing but a list of monsters. And then I realized, yeah. Oh, you shared the other ones.
So the first one is the Monsters Index. What I like with the monsters is, we don't have to go through all of them.
No, we definitely won't.
Like GIF, for example, there's GIF, and then there's three other kinds of GIF.
Okay? Yeah.
So there's GIF from the base monster manual. He's always been in there. And it's a powerhouse kind of creature. But then you also have a shipmate, shock trooper, and a warlord.
Sure.
Perfect. Yeah, that's all you need. Astral elves are the same way. There's like five of them.
Yep.
The vampires, there's three or four of them. The Thycrine, there's three or four of them. Same thing with the plasmoids and the perlons. And
yeah, and the honestly, monkeys. That's fine. That's a good thing. Like in the original Monsters Manual, I don't think they did any of that, but in most of the releases since then, they've had things like that. I know Volos had like a few different variants of things in it.
And I always like the variants because like I understand that I can just take a Duergar, okay, and their base stats is a war pick and a javelin. And the javelins never make sense to me. And for like... For dwarves to throw javelin, something that needs like a lot of room and an arc, you know,
it really should be like hand axes.
I give them crossbows and heavy crossbows because that makes more sense.
That works too.
And I know I can take them and swap the weapons around. I do it all the time, like on the fly. Like, this guy has a shield, this guy has plate, this guy has a battle axe, and I know those numbers and stuff in the back of my head.
Those are simple little things that aren't really altering much. But then these other ones will have different abilities that the OG ones didn't have.
And that's what I'm really looking for, is like, what's the difference between a Duergar and a Duergar Berserker? Like, what do you want me to have that difference to be? I know what I would just make it to be on the fly, you know, dual wielding axes and probably like extra damage while raging kind of thing. Give it some, take some stuff from the player barbarian kind of class. But
yep, I actually, you know, like I used one of these things very recently with the Ogre Chain Brute. You have your standard ogre, which is just an ogre. This guy, same stats as an ogre, except he has a chain sweep and a chain smash, and each one does something different, but they both require saving throws. Obviously the challenge rating it should be a little higher than the standard ogre, because this one has other stuff that he can do.
Yeah. So the other monsters they have is, they have like a bunch of lunar dragons and solar dragons and a bunch of just weird cosmic horror kind of monsters out there.
Yeah, I saw the one listed, cosmic horror.
Yeah.
They've got three variants of the Nyogi, which is very important for Spelljammer.
Yep. The Spaceline. Alright. And I was just watching a video talking about Spaceline. So pretty much the board. Alright. That has a speed of 40. And where's scale mail? So it's AC 16. And it's still a CR 1/4 monster. So that's an animal companion for a ranger. And you can, as a druid, transform into that. You just can't fly for a couple levels, though. Now you can summon with that stupid spell that my player used on me this last week. Just summon animals or whatever it was.
A whole bunch of space swines.
A whole bunch of space swine. Flying pigs. Rawr! And everyone thinks that they put those in as a joke because Spelljammer wasn't going to come out until pigs fly.
Right. That sounds accurate. My only disappointment is, you've described what it is. When you first said the name, I was praying it was like a gargantuan-sized pig that just flies through space and just eats ships.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a Spelljammer. Delicious. And then it just goes after the, yeah.
I am surprised they didn't have a different Astral Dreadnought listed in here. Being as how like integral the Astral Dreadnought is to the Spelljammer.
Yeah, but you already have the stats for it.
We already have the stats for it, but I was kind of hoping for a different variant of one.
Yeah. There's never been a variant of the Astral Dreadnought that I'm aware of.
No, and there's never been a variant of the Tarrasque either, but...
That is correct.
I think it's time to start having those.
Well, I mean, yeah, we've definitely talked about having variants of the Tarrasque on here, but it's your campaign. You can do what you want. If you want to have a variant of an Astral Dreadnought, go for it.
I should check to see if the Advanced 5e has their own Astral Dreadnought in it, because they have their own Tarrasque in it, which is far better Tarrasque than the standard release one.
Yeah.
But like I said, the monsters look cool. I'm really happy with this. No real big issues with any of these. Like I said, I want to definitely get them and start looking at it. I want to see the stats for the Murder Comet.
Murder Comet.
I want to see the stats for the Vampirates. And I can't remember what the names are, the Space Clowns. They only have one listing for a Space Clown, but I hope they have a couple more.
Okay, yeah, the Advanced 5e does not have an Astral Dreadnought listed.
Yeah, boo.
Yep.
So the next table of contents we got is for the...
That's the Adventure.
The Adventure? Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, not going to get too much into the Adventure. I like the Adventure. I like the fact that it kind of just gets picked up anywhere around level 5, and it goes all the way, I think, to 8, I believe. So...
Okay, I might have had it. Actually, I got it backwards, but we'll look at the Adventure now.
So I really like the Adventure. I really like the world that they kind of built for it. The complaints that I've seen is that they don't give enough information. They kind of like introduce all these like astral bodies, and they don't provide any information behind the astral bodies except for like, oh, that's Comet Prime. Yay. It does things. What does it do? Things. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday with Panda. I mean, this is the constant complaint. There's no lore. You know, they're even giving us a module here with things in it and no details about what the stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, that's not providing lore. That's not, there's not giving me anything canon. They're just saying this stuff exists. What the hell is it? Why is it there? Give me something, man.
And I did bring that. We were talking about it offline with our kind of D&D group, and that is our complaint. And I think a lot of it's like they are tightly grasping the official releases down to the word. You know, every single one of these books is 64 pages. There's not a space in this entire document, even these leaked pictures, that is wasted. Okay.
Yeah.
And I really honestly think that, you know, they're like, okay, we have to get 64 pages, so we have to cut some content. Now, whether or not WotC will release that content, because I know there has to be cut content. There's a ton of cut content in Frostmaiden, for example. And we know that cut content is out there, but why can't they also just release it on DM's Guild or something like that? I know The Guild Adepts, who are basically the, like, official writers for D&D publishing their own things, sometimes take those ideas that got cut and then publish them into like a big kind of compendium and publish it as like kind of like an own adventure or just more information about Icewind Dale.
Yeah.
They did that for Frostmaiden, for example. And I think it's useful to me. It's not an official source.
It should be Frostmaiden. Yeah.
I understand that there is cutting on to happen. You can't let writers run amok, because they'll just run amok.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
We'll write 10,000 words and 20,000 words and 50,000 words, and like, I only wanted 30. Well, tough luck, you got 50.
Yeah, editing is absolutely important, but yeah, you still got to have the information there, man.
But every cut page, you know, every cut piece of content is an extra page, and that page, in the millions of releases, is money. And I understand it's a business aspect, and like, while I can understand it, I hate it from a content consumer. Like, just give me more. I don't mind paying a little bit more for more stuff. Like, I hope this little thing kind of works out for them, this like 3-book setup.
But I mean, they should have just done it all as one book, because that's, how big are these? 64
pages. This book.
Make it all one book, for the love of God. It'll save you money, because then you don't have to have three covers.
Three covers, and a big thing. So this book is, so this is 364. So this is just bigger than Tasha's. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to put that into concept. This book is just bigger than Tasha's, and Tasha's was a lot of just like rehashed content. Radiant Citadel, that just came out, I got it right here, is over 200 pages, like 220.
Right.
So why not go that full bore, put out a big book that's like 250, especially since it's Spelljammer, a new setting, and give me that big book that I wanted. Give me 150 pages for player options and ship options. Give me 150 pages of monsters. Give me 150 page adventure. You know,
drop a 150 page book or more. Drop a 150 to 200 page book that is all this stuff they released, and then drop a second book that's 150 pages that's actually just goddamn lore. And I bet you people will buy both of them.
I think when they tried something new with this, and I definitely don't think it's the right way to go. If they want adventures to kind of be on their own, go back to how they were releasing on 4th edition, where there were just small folders that had a couple paperback booklets in them that had all the monsters and all the dungeons and stuff, and have those be separate from the actual content books, the actual like player options and the player options and the monster manuals.
I mean, I'm sitting here with a first edition one, right? And I was looking at it earlier, but there's a first edition module here. It's 32 pages. It's got everything that you're going to need in there, and it's going to have lore.
Yeah.
Like, I would pay $20 for those.
Yeah. And they sometimes have like surveys, so we definitely need to make it known. Making a video about it, posting it, and sharing it out to the world would probably help them kind of get like, this is what we were kind of hoping. Like, this is good, but I like this better. You know,
so
Spelljammer is good, but I like the fourth edition content.
Just as an example, because I am looking at the table of contents here, and in the chapter four, basically, there's a section labeled Knight of Tunarath. And mind you, I don't have this book here in front of me, but this is for the module.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just it's probably just the stats on a Knight of Tunarath. I had to go Google what is Tunarath. And fortunately, the Forgotten Realms wiki actually does have that. But there is nothing out there in cyberspace on a Knight of Tunarath.
Yeah. So
maybe it's something new. But if I know WotC, it's not going to have any lore about this organization, the Knights of Tunarath. It's just going to leave it for the DM to kind of decide and make up on their own, which is fine. DMs will do that. You know, I certainly would if I had to. But I don't know. I my favorite books of all time are just the lore books. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and not to get into specifics, but there's like a certain thing that exists in the adventure, and it's an astral object. Mm-hmm. And that astral object, and I'm being very vague with its name.
Sure.
That astral object has purpose and is the cause of everything that went bad. Okay. But they don't mention like what happens when you go near it, what happens when you go through it, what is behind it, what is inside of it. You know, like all those things are just kind of left up to the DMs. And that's great and that's fine. But I think the DM just wants to know. Like, you tell me what's in there. What did you, your professional writers, your amazing, awesome professional writers who spent their time and money thinking all this stuff up? Because I guarantee you that they wrote down what was in there or what is there.
Almost certainly.
Just tell me what it is. And then if I don't like it, I'll change it.
Yeah, it's one individual who was responsible for that thought. And they are the one who pitched that idea. And I guarantee you, they know what's out there, what's, you know, around it, how it works. All of that information should be available.
Yeah. So I'm still looking forward to the adventure. I really want to run it.
I'm sure. Are you going to run it on stream at some point?
Waterdeep is next. My wife and the group, we really want to do Waterdeep again. The problem is running Waterdeep again is hard in a way, because you can run it multiple times and you get like the same story just multiple different ways, and that's cool and all, but
yeah, because I know there's like four sort of endings for Waterdeep.
Well, there's four.
I say ending. There's four challenges. Each one could be done.
Yeah, but to me, like, the games I've had with my players, like we've done Waterdeep, the treasure has been found. So the other group is there just reveling in the treasure, you know?
Yep.
I don't want to go back and redo it again, you know, even though, so I kinda wanna tell like another like story where they have to look for things. The same exact story essentially, but they're not going after the dragons. It's not a dragon heist anymore. It's okay. You know, a different heist of things, you know, and there's plenty of stuff in Waterdeep, underneath Waterdeep,
to
sedate any kind of challenge I may throw at them. You know, I mean, the Mad Mage dungeon is behind there. I could have them find a Spelljammer ship underneath the city and then fly away on it.
You could have them accidentally end up in the Mad Mage's dungeon.
Yeah. And, so there's a lot of options for it, and I just got to kind of plan it, and I'm just having fun being a player right now with the GIF, and I'm really enjoying just playing that thing. And
yeah. All right, well, let's take a look at this last table of contents, because this one I'm scanning through, this is actually more interesting and more in line with what I'm wanting anyway. Mm-hmm. Because it it is only 64 pages. It's got all the new races and a couple of backgrounds that you can pick from. I don't see any new subclasses, which is kind of disappointing, but
I mean, it's really hard right now because they have to make a subclass that's balanced and works and has a theme. The second you put it in Spelljammer, like, I want to be a laser gun operator.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's what I want.
I mean, see, so the thing about Spelljammer is a lot of what makes up Spelljammer is laser guns and muskets. All right. Yeah, you can board it and you can beat, like, you know, high seas pirates, you know, where you got a single shot pistol and everyone goes sword and board. But a lot of Spelljammers, like, you better go read through that laser gun section in DMG before you play Spelljammer, because a lot of those are probably going to come up.
Yeah.
Be familiar with, you know, that Gatling laser that does radiant damage on a 3x3 grid. Get used to that. So yeah. They don't really need new subclasses. It's now, how are these subclasses going to work with the abundance of guns and the abundance of laser weaponry that may or may not exist? I mean, like, even in Icewind Dale, if they find the It Ascendant, now they have laser guns. No one can use them. Well, guess what? Gif can.
Yeah.
It may not have firearms as a get from as a base racial trait, but it should. And it should be able just to pick that thing up. On the back of the book or the collector's edition, there's just two muskets. So I think the dynamics of Spelljammer changes how things get played just because of the guns and because of the ship combat. So
the
I don't
ship,
think
the ship combat, yes. The guns, it doesn't really alter much. They deal damage the same as a bow. Like, it's a D8
it's not about, or it's D8. It's not about the damage. Let me try to explain it more. It's more about, like, when two ships come up to each other in space, everyone's just going to start firing guns back and forth at each other. Boarding is secondary, you know?
Sure.
So you're going to have that ship-to-ship combat that happens first. And then when I start to board, there's even more gunplay that happens. And then that
all of that already exists.
It does already exist, yes. But in Faerun, when a ship boards another ship, there's no, like, exchange of musket fire first.
No, but there are cannons.
There are cannons, maybe.
I mean, well, Faerun.
There's no cannons on a Faerun. The galleon ship does not come with cannons.
It does not come with cannons. I don't know for certain with Faerun how. Like, I know the followers of Gond created gunpowder. We've talked about this before, but I don't know to what extent it gets utilized. Yeah. I do know that muskets are very uncommon, which means cannons probably are. But there are, like, a standard D&D setting, cannons are kind of a thing.
I would say Faerun is right before cannons, because there's very few people that,
like,
use them.
Ghost of Saltmarsh has stats for all of that stuff. So
yeah. But I just think that the dynamic of Spelljammer is going to change things up a little bit, and they didn't really need another subclass, because then it would just be a gunner of some kind.
Well, I just love more subclasses. I've said it a million times. I love more stuff, more variety.
Just not pull having over gunner it's, from
yeah,
from,
not having it's no big deal. It just would have been nice if they'd had something.
Yeah.
But yeah, at least they've got, like, they do explain how spell jamming works. They have from, like, pages 17 all the way through 21. So five pages or something. Four pages, five pages. Like, it's not a lot, but it is there.
Yeah.
They've got more spells, more magic items, but not obviously not a lot, because spells and magic items are all on page 22.
And I think a lot of it's just basically, here's a spell to create an air bubble.
Yeah. But then they do go back to, they cover more of it, helm, spell jamming, ship-to-ship combat, crashing, ship repairs, like, all that is listed in here. And then there's a good 15, 20 pages or so of different types of ships. And that,
16 ships.
Yeah, but each one seems to get about 2 pages.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a lot of information about each ship.
The Tyrant ship. The Damsel ship. The Bombard.
Yeah,
the living ship is the fun one, because that's a living treant that basically, like, grew its roots out, and they basically made it into a ship. And so it provides its own air bubble.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of these are your standard ships from the original Spelljammer, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. I think the damsel ship is the one that they're like, it's the Jeep of Spelljammer ships.
Oh, the damsel fly.
Yeah.
Okay, so last week, let's get to this topic. Last week, you said you picked up the new starter kit, and it had pictures of all of the characters from the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon in it.
Yes.
But they were not in it.
No.
Why? Why were they not in it? What the hell are you doing, WotC?
I think it's a missed opportunity.
It's a huge missed opportunity.
Part of me is like, if they want to distance themselves from the anime, then do that. If not, then.
But they obviously aren't. You know, they those characters are supposed to make an appearance in the movie as a rival adventuring group.
They got minis coming out.
They've got minis coming out. They make an appearance in the new starter kit. At least their artwork does. And for anyone who doesn't understand what we're talking about the old 1980s Dungeons & Dragons cartoon that was on the air for like 2 or 3 years. There were 7 characters, I think, all a bunch of teenage kids who got sucked through a portal and ended up in, you know, some crazy D&D world, had to fight Tiamat and a whole bunch of bad guys and such. At level one. Yeah, the whole premise is ridiculous and stuff, but people love nostalgia. Like, nostalgia is huge. And all of these years, they've had access to these characters. TSR had access to them, WotC's had access to them, and only now that 5th edition is coming out are they starting to actually even say, hey, we remember these guys. And then they throw pictures of them in this book, but don't actually give you stats. They don't make an appearance anywhere in there. It seems just like a waste. Why?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure why not. I mean, like, they seem to focus down on the ones that they like. Maybe because it's a varied band and they're the newbie group, and this is the newbie module. You know, it kind of like, oh, it just makes sense for them to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a cute nod. I'm not complaining about it, you know. So
it's not like end of the world. I just think it's a missed opportunity. Like, these could have been NPCs you could have interacted with in there.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't happen that way.
Yep, and I hate to say it, but honestly, I would kind of like to see them release a new cartoon with these characters, because there is a love for them, there is a nostalgia for them, and even people who are a lot younger than I am are interested in these characters. There's some people out there who are way younger than I am who had never grown up with this cartoon, who have gone back and watched the entirety of it simply because it's Dungeons and Dragons.
They're like, why are they fighting Tiamat at level one?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, they have to have some reason. Maybe they're going to try a cartoon or something in the future. I don't know.
Yeah. But, and it could maybe they're just sort of tossing them out there to see fan reaction.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. Just see how well they spark, and see if people are clamming for more. You're definitely clamming for more, so maybe it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got you hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, the whole nostalgia fact, which is weird. I don't know why I have a nostalgia for them, as I've never actually watched the entirety of that show. Yeah, I've seen a handful of episodes at most. I've seen the first one where they fought Tiamat. And by fight, I mean run away from. And I've seen a couple other episodes. I do own a DVD with like 9 episodes on it that I haven't watched yet, because I just picked it up a few weeks ago.
You should watch it then.
I will. I got to find time to do it. I think I could probably watch most of them on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I do hope to do more with them. I mean, it's part of their IP. Maybe after the movie, you know, because Even having the movie as a module to run would be kind of neat, you know?
I would not be surprised if they release a module or something based around that movie. We'll just have to wait and see.
I don't think they're going to come out with a module for the movie.
I mean, it might. I don't think they're going to release a hardbound book or anything, but it might be here's a DM's Guild. You know, it's like 10 pages of you know, stuff about this movie that you could incorporate into your campaigns.
Maybe.
I mean, it's set in Sword Coast. Everything is based off of official stuff, it seems, for the most part.
Yep.
I'm
looking forward to it. I really need to read through the adventure. I haven't read. I own the thing, and I just haven't looked through it yet. I haven't had time. You know, too busy with Spelljammer.
Yeah, getting prepared.
But I want to talk to you about a gripe that I have, and I need to get this out because I was really kind of irritated by this. So I've been running Adventures League for a while.
Yeah.
And I decided to run my players through the Baldur's Gate adventure, which is like a side adventure to the main story. Okay. Now, I don't know specifically what's involved with making that adventure come to life. I know they have writers, but they're not WotC writers. They were Adventure League writers who wrote the story. And this is the last story Frostmaiden was the last story. This is the second to last story that they wrote to kind of go in line with something. And it started off in kind of like the same place that the Baldur's Gate book did in Eltriel, with it getting pulled down. And then you have to go to Baldur's Gate, and there's a murder mystery that happens in Baldur's Gate. And let me just double check something real quick, because I think they may have like different writers for each session. I'm only on session 6 right now.
Okay.
The designer for session 6 is the GM Tim, Ted Atkinson, MT Black, okay, Justin Donny, Andrew Bichinski, Rich Lucifer. Okay, so definitely different lead designers for each of these modules. And oh my god, does it really feel that way? Okay, so let me take you through a quick snapshot that I do at the beginning of all the Avengers League. The story started off with the city of Eltriel being pulled into hell. A young woman named Dara, who's accompanied by an elderly shepherd and a goat, are gathering the survivors of Eltriel together to make a caravan down to Baldur's Gate. She sends you off to go to gather a bunch of survivors. In the meantime of that, you find a bunch of cultists who are sacrificing people and summoning demons. You kill them, you find the survivors, you travel down to Baldur's Gate. On the way to Baldur's Gate, an innkeeper that you rescued becomes the leader of the caravan. Okay?
All right.
And there's a murder that happens. One of the people that you rescued gets murdered. And so you have to find out who the murderer is. You stop the murderer, and you make your way to Baldur's Gate. You make your way to Baldur's Gate, and now you basically sneak your way into Baldur's Gate to talk to the Flaming Fist, who you didn't get recruited by. Basically, get your caravan inside Baldur's Gate with some, you know, for protection.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, you're sent out to investigate a bunch of murders that happen. And then your caravan gets room off screen. Like, it just happens. Okay. So you investigate some more murders and some more murders, find out that everyone is basically connected because they're all ex-Hell Riders from Eltriel. Okay. And they think that this demon or this cult is basically killing them for revenge for Zariel. And there's a demon that you find the name of. Okay. Then while you're watching a duke talk about the murders, he gets assassinated, and you meet this new person out of the blue who's like, you need to get to your followers quickly because they're about to get murdered because two of them are actually Hell Riders. Okay. So you run down to the warehouse and you fight and you stop the cultists and the big demon guy gets summoned and he dies. And then the 10-year-old girl shows up. The one that I mentioned earlier, who was just a young woman the first time. Who disappeared for three adventures. Yeah, she's not a young woman. She's a child. Now she's 10. And then she's the MacGuffin for the rest of the story because she needs you to take her to hell. And the shepherd and the goat are actually divas and an angel, but they won't go to hell because they'll draw attention and suspicion because they were an angel the entire time. The goat's some kind of weird angelic being as well, too. Did you speak with animals in the first session to talk to them? Because that was written in the book. And somehow Speak with Animals works on a
celestial being
somehow. All right. And they're like, okay, cool. So let's get to hell. All right. Guess how they get to hell?
By boat.
Okay. So, I shit you not, this is what happens. A wall of the warehouse that you were just in falls over, revealing a man, his mule, and a wagon. And he has a small blue fairy dragon with him. He's like, hey, I heard you all need to get to hell. Fade to black, pop back, you've been in Avernus for 3 days.
Okay. Yeah. What
in the absolute fucking hell is that?
I was going to talk about not being clear about what the hell is going on tonight anyway. Because we ran through a module last night that there was one section that was just very poorly written that confused even the DM, and then he read it to us and it confused all the players. But from what you're saying, I'm just going to roll with this because this is the most confusing and convoluted garbage I've heard. This is Battlefield Earth level of terrible.
Every single one of these adventures, too, has introduced a slew of new NPCs.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because every writer has to introduce their own people. And,
right. Yeah. So, like, that one that was, like, super important that where the Duke was assassinated, she killed the devil and was like, hey, we need to go help your friends. I'm Clarissa, whatever the fuck her name was. Like, yeah. Let's go. Like, my dudes are like, who the fuck is her? How does she know what's going on? How does she know they're Hell Riders? What the fuck? Guess what? She's not talked about ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, that one writer wanted to introduce her, and right. Once you get past that part of the module, well, so much for her.
And then the first module, when you're in hell, there's 12 new NPCs.
Oh, my God.
The module before that one that just had the one random woman had 4 new NPCs. The first module alone had 12 NPCs. But that was establishing a basis of people. Some of them actually made it through to like the fourth module before disappearing off the face of the earth. Now we're in hell. All the stuff that my players have done to kind of like create rapport for as little that happens in Adventures League. And it's hard because 9 players at a table. And then like one of them was like infatuated with the Flaming Fist captain or whatever. There's no mention of talking to the Flaming Fist captain. It's literally just like, hey, I heard you want to get the hell with that new MacGuffin 10-year-old girl thing. Okay, fade to black, gone.
So they give backstory on an NPC that has no connotations whatsoever in the adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually all right with that. I know that's kind of ridiculous. I would be all right with it, except that it's Adventures League. Like, if this was an official thing, I'd be fine with it because they're throwing it out there so the DM can do other stuff with it later if they want.
Right.
But as it's Adventures League, the DM is very hampered by what they can do anyway.
So, like, when Dara, okay, was a young woman and she was gathering people together for the caravan to go to Baldur's Gate, you assumed like what I did, a young woman, like, maybe late teens, early 20s?
If it reads the words young woman, My adult. Mind, yeah, my mind is okay. She's like 20, somewhere around there.
And so then, like, she disappeared from the story, and the other, another woman took over leadership roles. Okay, and then Dara disappeared from the story, and then all of a sudden, snap back to reality. Dara's back, and she's 10 years old now.
Now, was Dara an angel or angelic?
No, she is okay. Just a little girl.
So she's just a 10-year-old kid. All right.
Who somehow, through a backstory that they don't talk about at all, went to the Church of Ilmater,
yeah.
Ilmater. Read the Book of Exalted Deeds. So already hard stop. What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
She read the Book of Exalted Deeds and didn't die?
That's some legendary shit right there, quite literally.
She's 10, right?
Yeah.
With the books in the city? Last time I checked, the book wasn't in Baldur's Gate.
And she just walks in and fucking reads it like it's a library book. Just checks it out.
It's like, this is a Dick and Jane book. What are you talking about? And then, like, the shepherd and the goat thing gets me, too, because, like, they specifically had a small little blurb. It was like, if someone uses speak with animals on the goat, tell him that the grass that he's eating doesn't taste good since the city got pulled down, and he wants to find some better grass, and then the player can do a small check to find some better grass for the goat, and the goat is happy. Okay? They threw that in there in the first session. All right? And that's cute. I like stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a paragraph. They didn't cut it. Whatever. Awesome. But then to have it show up later, let me find out. Let me pull up what he was. Hold on.
Yeah, like I was going to say, if it's a celestial goat, okay.
So when all is said and done, that's the bonus things. And...
Yeah.
So the shepherd turns into a planetar.
All right.
And the goat turns into a goat-legged diva.
Okay, yeah, that's not even remotely a goat.
So speak with animals should not work. And that statement in the first one should have said, when you try to speak with animals, this goat, it just doesn't register as a beast to talk to. And that would establish something, that something's fucked up with this goat. You know? My party wanted to kill the goat multiple times.
You know, you could kind of get away with it. Simply because the language it speaks is all. Like, divas speak every language.
Okay.
And they have telepathy of 120 feet.
Okay. But here's the thing. My party legitimately at one point in time thought that the shepherd, who was very quiet and just like, because that's how it was presented, and the goat were the bad guys.
Yeah.
And it happened at the table multiple times. Like, we really need to take care of this guy. And we need to beat up this goat because something is sus about the goat. And nowhere did it say that these things were actually angelic beings in hiding.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, but that's something that should have been popped up a lot better.
Oh, absolutely. Because that leads to problems. If they kill the goat, then, well, it kind of screws you, you know, five chapters later when the goat is supposed to still be alive.
Came back the very next day.
And it's even worse if you know the information and then they attack the goat, because the diva is a challenge rating of 10 and it's just going to kill the whole party.
Well, they deserve it.
Yeah. Oh, you're second level and you're attacking a celestial being. All right. Good luck.
And the other thing too is, like, the first four chapters, it's kind of like you get to Baldur's Gate. And then, like, you start solving a murder mystery, okay? And, okay, I can get that. That's Baldur's Gate. That's a very Baldur's Gate-y kind of thing, you know? If you're looking for kind of like that kind of noir detective story flair, Baldur's Gate's pretty much the place you want to play in, you know?
Yep. Big city, yep.
Yeah, big city, lots of, always raining.
Lots of politics.
Yeah. So the first thing that happens in hell is you're on this guy's wagon going through hell. And, again, pulled by a mule who has a mule stat block, who is just a mule. All right.
Are you sure? I mean, when you get to chapter 9, you might find out otherwise.
I don't know. but that's to my point is basically two infernal machines, like giant tricycles, being run by Duergar, which in Avernus, and Bearded Devils come up on this, and they're moving at like, you know, super fast, and the wagon and the mule are keeping pace. So I don't know how the mule can run away from infernal machines, because it's a mule. It's pulling 9 people and 2 horses.
It's a very strong mule. I mean, like, the mules have a speed of 40 feet, but they all have a strength of 14.
Right.
So,
and if 2 infernal machines are right next to you and they're keeping pace, okay, and your mule is just booking it forward, it's not going to be able to run in a straight line forever, okay? Like, you would need that the whole encounter to last a couple of rounds, and it's supposed to take at least 10. How is that mule running at move and dash for 10 rounds without any constitution save? So something's up with this mule.
Obviously. And then, it's a hell mule.
And so that's a cool first encounter to Avernus, you know. That works. Here's your cart. Here's your intro story. Here's some infernal machines. Here's what you're going to be fighting for a little while. And when you make it to like the weird caravan of infernal machines, immediately the first thing that they have you do is look for a spy. And I just kind of like, no. Why? You're in Mad Max hell. Why am I looking for a spy? That should have happened in Baldur's Gate.
I'm so confused.
Why am I looking for a spy? And here's the other thing too, is like, you're in a devil's caravan. Okay? The head dude is a Rashaka. There's imps everywhere. You have 12 people that you have to go investigate. Okay? All of them are devils or demons or fiends of some kind, except for a couple people that stand out. Okay? There's a drow archdruid just walking around, just like, oh, I want to eat some mushrooms, yay. Like, they're all spies. All of them. They're all evil.
Yeah.
Done. Like, you're looking for one particular one? That drow, there's one. that little, like, I don't know what you call a group of imps.
I don't know.
Well, what's the proper noun for a group of imps?
Bastards. It's a bastard of imps.
A bastard of imps. There's a bastard of imps over there. Oh, and there's a lawful good hobgoblin right there for some reason.
Oh, he's definitely the spy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever see, you remember in, not Independence Day, but Men in Black, when Will Smith shoots the sign, the cardboard little girl? And he's, you know, his reasoning for doing it was it's late. It's like 3 in the morning. She's in the hood. And this little girl is walking around with, like, you know, chemistry books and trigonometry and stuff. She's definitely the one who stands out. Well, a lawful good hobgoblin in hell definitely stands out.
Like, I don't know if this is these PCs are going to be reoccurring. Is this Rashaka and his caravan going to be a long-going thing? Like, I kind of need to know. And I at this point in time, I'm kind of gun-shy introducing anybody else. This is Adventures League. I just want to fight some demons. Give me some good encounters to go through. Give me some more infernal machines.
So when do you
don't give me a fucking mule that's pulling a cart.
When do
that
you
wall get... should when have fallen. You... Go ahead.
I was going to say, when do you get to see the next part of this adventure?
I have them all. I could read ahead if I want to.
Okay. You might want to. I mean, if it's this bad, you may need to.
I don't know. That takes a lot of time and investment. And just like, well, and then I'll start changing the story and getting it, you know.
I mean, so you just read it like the day of, ahead of time.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be written. It's supposed to be written of like, hey, it's Adventure League week. It's Tuesday. Here's a new adventure, guys. Have fun in Adventure League on Wednesday. Bye. Like, you get 24 hours to prep.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. And...
I get it. I get it. That's I would be as frustrated as you are. This sounds horrific.
I'm not in a mood to do this any to do this module anymore. Like yeah. I kind of like I wish I was just running the hardcover adventure because that at least made sense.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's a kicker. I know this from people here that listen from Avengers League. Zariel has nothing to do with this. I looked at who the last bosses were. It's not Zariel.
It really should. I'm going to be fair. If it's Adventurous League, it should not be Zariel because Zariel will just probably kill the whole party.
Well, they're level 20 by the time this ends. This goes longer.
Wait. Adventurous League goes past level 5?
Yeah. They're all 5 now.
I thought it all sort of ended like level 5 or 6.
This adventure ends at level 20. They do fight I'll keep it as a surprise. They do fight a well-known Avernus demon god.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not Zariel.
Huh.
And I don't even think she makes an appearance in this film, kind of bullshit. But she's the one plastered fucking everywhere for this. So, like, I don't know, like, if it's even worth it. Because, like, they're all kind of excited. I can't wait to fight Zariel. I'm like, it's never gonna happen.
They'll be happy whenever they fight, I'm sure.
But even in Avernus by itself, I mean, you tangle with Zariel at, like, level 12 or 13, you know? And it's more just restoring Eltriel than anything else. But so these people are going to stay in hell longer than that. The whole reason Dara is down here is to rescue the souls of the Hell Riders. Okay. So, I mean, at least they kept that plot thread going. But like, that's going to take the level 20 to finish, you know, and then Hell Riders are the ones that basically betrayed Zariel. Everything has been about Zariel this entire time. And Zariel doesn't make an appearance in this? Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of terrible.
Maybe I should look ahead. Maybe I could salvage it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of annoying because you're the DM. You're kind of stuck running this thing. And you have to be invested as the DM. Otherwise, you lose interest in it. And you are devoting 3 or 4 hours, not including reading time, but just 3 or 4 hours of running this thing every week. Like, yeah, I as a DM, with my ADD, there's zero chance in hell I could do that. If I can't stay invested in something, it's not going to get run. And if you're struggling with it, people like me, there's no way.
Yeah. And really... And really, it was the Fade to Black that kind of just killed it for me.
Like yeah, Fade to Black. Now you're in hell.
Really? I have been struggling, just absolutely struggling with Dread of the Ice Devil 2 and the ending that I'm stuck with and trying to figure out something to make it work. You know, and I think I have a way forward, but I'm still not happy about it. But at least it's not a freaking Fade to Black.
Yeah, everything you've written, you've told me some of the ideas you've run with, they're all still better than Now You're Just in Hell. They could have done like 2 entire adventure sessions just getting into hell.
It's half a chapter in the actual book.
Yeah.
It's a lot of role play. You got to go to Candlekeep. You got to talk to people and they got to like make a component and do a ritual and be like, are you sure this is what you want to do? Cause you can't come back. But this jackass with a fucking mule in a cart can just like go there.
Without any
explanation. And like I looked into the next chapter, it says the mule. Maybe something's. It says Gary, a mule or something more. Ooh.
Oh well, we definitely know he's something more.
Well, they don't actually say what he is.
Yeah, but he's something more.
He likes nuzzles, and rubs against their hands and a scratch behind the ear.
Yep.
And I said, use this to instill paranoia with the group. I don't need to instill paranoia with the group. They're a bunch of punch-happy adventure leaguers.
Yeah.
This is not a party that I can tailor towards a story with. I have a paladin that has bloodthirst. I have another paladin that has bloodthirst. I have a barbarian that has bloodthirst. And I have one lady who's just like, how can I annoy the demon with my spells? So she's like summoning 1,000 boars that drop from the sky.
Sounds awful. Sounds awful. Anyway, let's sort of wrap this thing up on a little lighter of a note. So I got to play in a one shot last night, and it was absolutely just entertaining from beginning to end. And there's one thing that happened that I really wanted to talk to you about. So I was playing a kobold soul knife. And when I was playing the like Volo's Guide version of kobolds with the groveling, with the plus dex minus strength. And we're running through this adventure and we see some Quotoa, you know, the fish people in the next room. We were in an underwater temple. And mind you, it was like an air pocket, but we see them in the next room. They don't speak common. None of us speak under common, so we can't communicate. And the party leader, it was an NPC, but they're like, who wants to go talk to these guys? And I'm just standing in the back as a kobold, raising my short little stubby arm. And I don't know how to talk to these people, but I'm going to try anyway. So as I'm walking by the leader, they were cleric and paladin. They hit me with the tongues spell. So I could actually understand what the Quotoa are saying. And they are basically saying, we're terrified. We just want to get the hell out of here as I walk up to them. And immediately when I get up to them, before I walked away, I told our buddy Jacob, when I do my thing, go ahead and shoot them. Like, my whole plan was just to get them killed. So I walk in there, I grovel immediately, like kobolds do. And then Muffin shoots them. And then everybody else just piles on them and kills, like, all three of them before they ever got to do anything. And naturally, since nobody else could understand what they were saying, I just told the NPC that, oh, no, they were going to eat me and kill me. That's what they told me. I'm playing a lawful evil kobold. Yeah, of course. It's just a little piece of shit. Groveling, man, that's a really good ability. It's the first time I've ever gotten to use it.
Yeah, I really do like the original kobolds and how they made them up to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If I ever play kobolds, that's what I want to play. You know, they've got the advantages, the disadvantages. You got to have some weaknesses to get that level of power, because grovel is nasty. Like, everything within 10 feet of me that can see me, when I grovel, everybody else who attacks them has advantage until the end of my next turn.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah, because my whole party got to attack, and then I think there were 3 crits rolled in there because of that advantage.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I got some even more lighthearted news for you.
All right, well let's do it, and then we'll end this thing.
All right. So first off, D&D Presents is on the 18th on the Twitch channel. Supposed to be announcing some new products and some other things and some surprises. They've been very vague about what it's about.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that's happening. I think at like in the evening hours on the 18th on Twitch.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. But Amazon's listing a new D&D title for December.
Okay. I thought they had already announced everything.
No. Mm-hmm. Question mark. This is a hardcover book for $70.
Okay.
Releasing December 6th.
All right. Okay. We'll definitely be talking about it next week.
If
they announce it, and if that's how everything goes, either way, I'm sure we'll be talking about whatever they talk about on the Twitch stream.
Yeah, it's gonna hopefully have a lot of good information. And,
yeah, you know, $70 bucks is high. It is high, but it's not, you know, incredibly high. So if it's a good book, yeah, maybe.
I think that's just how much books are going to cost from here on out.
I mean, everything, prices are up on everything. We understand that.
So I just think that's what it is. It's just a normal book. Just it's going to cost you two arms and a leg.
I mean, if it's the standard size of something like Tasha's or whatever, it better be a good, like a really good book for that price.
Maybe.
Yeah. Now I say very good book, but at the same time, everybody has their own definition of what a good book is. For me, it's things like Tasha and Volos. For other people, it might just be, I want a new module.
I want a new duck. Not a swan or a goose.
All right. I think we've had enough. Maybe we'll talk about space clowns here soon since Spelljammer's coming out.
Vampirates.
Yeah, vampirates. There we go. All right. Bye, Craig. Bye, Chris.
Bye.